Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very non-Pikmin edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service to tell you which games to pass into your friends and which games to just find random creatures in and just throw them at things. Something like that. I'm Corey. I am joined by the blue Tinykin himself. He's electrified. Basher.
You will pick my least like Pikmin. I mean, I like the green guys a lot better.
Green guys, he says. He likes the green guys. We are here to talk about Tinykin, this little puzzle platformer that's come out of nowhere. We're going to talk about it. But before that, did you know that you can let us know what you think about your favorite Game Pass game? 574-651-9256. Just pull out your phone, right? I'm going to check the voicemail live. I'm not going to do that. I already did that. Point is you can do that. You can shoot us a voicemail, shoot us a text message, whichever you want. We'll talk about it. We'll read about it. Everything. You could be on the air with us. You could be with us in spirit. Tinykin. So it's been a while. I'm not going to lie. We've been gone for... We put out one episode in September. That is unlike us. We're usually pretty good about it.
I mean... But, well, to be fair... As we've said before in the show, we do the best that we can, and we're not looking for worldwide acclaim. So we're not trying to force anything, first of all. Then also, just a couple of guys' lives. I mean, like things happen. So apologies for September, but
I think the problem was or is that we play a lot of stuff, but like. We didn't play a lot of the same things, along with trying to find time to get together. So with that being said, we've got a full slate already. I promise you it's going to happen for October and then November as well. And so we were playing stuff. So we have to make up for September. That's what we have to do.
Which is actually pretty easy considering what we already played and what's
so
coming
out. That's the thing is, again, we played stuff. We just didn't talk about it. But that's what we're here to talk about. We're going to talk about Tinykin. I'm delaying because I was too busy looking at how long to beat. And I got excited about that. And so I pulled up all these other things. And I don't have the details for Tinykin pulled up. So that's what I'm actually doing. Milo arrives on Earth to find that he's way too small. Everybody's gone and a day hasn't passed since 1991. Team up with the mysterious Tinykin and use their unique powers to create ladders, bridges, explosions, and a lot more. Find a way home through a spiraling ant-sized metropolis and unravel Earth's biggest mystery. Tinykin, this is from Splash Team Studios. Available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S, and PC. I played it on both of them, and I can say that it runs pretty well everywhere. I guess I lied. I guess I can't talk about Xbox One, but is anybody really playing on Xbox One still? That's what I want to know. Xbox Cloud Saves work, so you can pick up your progress on PC from console, vice versa. I actually did play this both on the Series S and X, because I do have one of those, and pretty good on both. So we're going to add this new this new section, Microsoft added How Long to Beat. Like the
section.
I don't know if you ever heard of howlongtobeat.com, but it gives you an idea of how long a game takes to beat. We got a main story of 5 hours, main's an extra 7 hours. Completionist run will take you about 8 hours. Regularly priced at $24.99. Tinykin. Let's talk about it.
Fake Pikmin. Why was this?
So it wasn't. This was kind of a blind go into. I saw like the box art and I was just like, I'm not sure how I feel about this. And like the name Tinykin, I was just like, this seems weird. And so I just kind of booted it up, and I will admit, like the first like 3 minutes, I was like, nope. Like it's kind of a weird game. Like it's a third person platformer. And like it says, it's almost like a, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style, to where you're in just this big room, but because you are tiny, everything looks kind of crazy. But the thing that really threw me off is that the way that, what's his name? I already forgot his name. Milo walks is weird because he's like in 2D. So when you're walking up and down, it's almost like Paper Mario, to where you're never actually like, there's no 3D model. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. It looks really weird.
Yeah. I mean, if you say Paper Mario, I think most people, well, depending if they play Paper Mario, obviously, but yeah, like he's flat in a 3D world.
And doing that in a true third person, three dimensional world, like I was like, man, this is weird, because it's a platformer. Like you have to jump and, you know, you've got to judge jumps and all that stuff. And I immediately was like, no. But after like 10 minutes, I kind of got over it. And then when I got the first Tinykin, and I was like, oh, I was like, this is Pikmin. Like, this is totally Pikmin in a different way, because Pikmin is more isometric view, and it's more about using the Pikmin to, most of the time it's to move things or beat things, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is, Tinykin is more about using Pikmin in a platformer way to reach things, or in this case, you still need them to sort of beat things up or knock things down, et cetera. I'm a huge Pikmin fan, so immediately it sort of grabbed me, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, all right, I'm into this.
I never really got Pikmin. I never disliked it, but I never fell in love with it either. So around that first 10-minute mark, I think I hit the same point as you did, where it's like, oh, this is Pikmin. But less of, oh, great, this is Pikmin. It's more like, oh, this is Pikmin. And not for good or bad reason, but I think it took me a little longer to hit that point of, I think I'm digging this. And for me, I think it was more of, and as I said at the top, the green Pikmin or Tinykin. Once I got the green ones, I'm like, oh, I could do so much with these things. Like, it really changed the way I can navigate this entire field. Because like you said, a lot of these maps take place in regular sized rooms, but you're super tiny. So when you walk into any area, it looks huge. It looks daunting, actually. There were a few times where I would be playing for hours at a time, and legit, when I get to the next area, I'm like, all right, I think I'm done here, because it would open up to this huge room. I'm like, I don't know if I can, I don't know where to start, what to do, because one of the cool things this game does is it just drops you in to this area and it just says, go for it. It's really a true sandbox each time, and it doesn't tell you where to go, where to start. You can just kind of do how you want and figure out these puzzles how you want.
Yeah, and what's weird is with How Long to Beat, you know, it's not a long game. You know, I finished it in probably about 6 hours. But it's still kind of amazing to me how well it teaches you about the game, because you don't have all the Tinykin in the first area. And, you know, you have the Tinykin that can sort of beat stuff up or, you know, remove things. You've got the Tinykin, the green ones, where it sort of builds a platform for you, a vertical platform. And so you can sort of, and then you got the blue ones, which are like electricity, and you have to build these sort of basically lines. You have to throw them, and so that way they all conduct electricity with each other. And it builds upon itself, literally and figuratively, of that. The first area, you only have one type of tinykin. And so every area, you sort of start at the bottom and work your way up, basically. But as you're playing the game and you have more tinykin, you start thinking about things differently. But as well as just like the puzzles and et cetera become they become more interactive, or they become more difficult, whatever you want to call it, because you have more options of it. So like one of my favorite ones is like you have to basically get like an automated system going with like a washer, a dryer, a bathtub, and like just all these different things that are sort of found in a room, and you use each type of tinykin to sort of do something else. And the idea is that you're throwing a party for all the other creatures in the area. And it's cool because like you start at the bottom, and then as you're working your way up, you sort of find different things and you find different areas and different tools that you must use to basically throw this party for everyone in the quote valley. So, but because of the art and because of where you're at, you know, because again, it's a single room and you see everything exploding, it's really cool. Like it really is that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids of just like how a single room or even like a Hot Wheels game, you know, like when it takes place in a bedroom or something, it's cool the way everything builds upon itself. And it's rare you see a game that teaches its mechanics through the world so well. And even though it's a short game, it does that from start to finish, at least in my opinion.
Building off that, what I like about the usage of the tinykin, even more than I remember from Pikmin, is it's you don't get confused. You don't need to worry about managing them. It's all pretty automated. For some reason, they figured out how if I want to build a rope ladder or a step ladder, I can just hold down a right trigger and like it will just pick the green tinykin most of the time. If there's a block or something I need to blow up, most of the time, like almost 98% of the time, like it is picking the red tinykin. It removes the management function of the game, and I think that speeds up the process. And I think it's actually quite genius in how they figured that out. Like I don't have to do much. And I can just kind of keep going, and there's no stopping going, oh, wait, I picked the wrong one, or I meant to put this here. Like, it all kind of just works, and I find that to be pretty
impressive. Yeah, and that's the management aspect of the whole Pikmin is kind of where people, I think, either fall in love with that game or hate it, because you can do poorly. Like, you know, if you can play Pikmin poorly. If you put your Pikmin in the wrong situation or you're not using the right Pikmin, et cetera, et cetera. But again, that is more of a management game, and this is a straight up platformer. But yeah, no, I agree with you in that the hardest thing that you have to do is finding them. You know, every time you go into a new area, each area has its own sort of set tinykin. And so you find them in these little like egg pod things, and you go over and knock them up, and then they come out. And it's cool because they just kind of follow you, you know, almost like Pokemon style. Like they're just kind of following you around. And so that at one point, you know, you have like this army of tinykin flying around, and it looks cool. Like it's a really neat effect, and whenever you do the green ones, it's got a nice little sound effect that sounds like, you know, blocks building on top of each other. And then the blue one's got a really cool sound effect with the electricity, and like, you know, when they're getting shocked and everything, like they've got, you know, the comic style, like hair everywhere, etc. But yeah, it's cool, and like you said, it removes the management aspect, which is, I don't want to call it frustrating, but it is the sense of the source of tension when it comes to the Pikmin style. And I think it's really cool how they were able to look at Pikmin and not copy it directly, but make it into something different. But in my opinion, like I think it takes literally everything that people don't like about Pikmin and fixes it, which is this is Nintendo we're talking about. Like Nintendo are, you know, master classes are in the master class of game design, and somebody, I don't want to say outdid them, because again, they're different games, but it's very rare that you see somebody take an idea, run with it, and sort of craft it into their own and be so successful at it.
Oh, absolutely. I think of other games that came out after that, and of course, they're all going to leave my mind as soon as I say that. But there's one where you play as like a, not even a demigod, but like
I know what you're talking about. The
like a demon or something.
Overlord.
Like it's going to bother
Overlord,
me.
Overlord. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That was too much. Like a Pikmin thing, if I remember right.
Yeah,
like,
that's wasn't straight up Pikmin.
It just didn't take the. Yeah, it didn't take the idea and move any and move anywhere new with it. Where Tinykin, as you said, took the Pikmin idea and just almost created a different genre with it. As much as it's a puzzle game, it's also a platformer, and it's a and it's a sandbox, and it's all of that, and it does it all very well. Like it all just blends together extremely well, and once I realized that, that was happening, that's when the game really won me over.
Yeah, and it won me. By the end of that first level, I was pretty much hooked. I was like, all right, this is cool. Like, I want to see where this goes. And it's got the factor of, it does have a collectathon. Like, there's these pollen clusters that you can get, which your Milo has this ability to where, basically, it's almost like a double jump or a floating jump. And you jump in the air, you press A again, and a bubble kind of comes around you. And you can kind of float. And by collecting the pollen, you can get more of those. So it has that aspect of being able to go back to other levels where you can see something. You're like, I don't know how to get there yet kind of thing. And it's got that aspect of it to where it's like, okay, now I can get there because I can float farther. But also, like, another part of the level design I think is really genius is the kind of like the zip lines. As you're sort of going through each level, you find these areas where you create zip lines. And so, again, as you're building up and going up, you create the zip line so that way if you ever do come back or if you do fall or something like that, you can get back up easily. And the other thing is that I think they were really smart in that if you take too much of a fall too far, there's not really a penalty for it because you at times were going up, 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 like you were going very, very high. And if I, you know, screw it, because the platforming is the one area of the game that it's not perfect. And I think part of that is because of that weird sort of 2D art style. And there's a lot of instances where you're jumping on plants and stuff like that. And I found myself unable to judge those jumps always correctly. And there's also a lot of times to where there's like very small gaps in between the petals of the plants. And I would think I can make it by not jumping. And I couldn't, you know, I would walk for it and then I just fall right through it kind of thing. So there's a couple things like that that are annoying, but when you fall and it's really not that far, you die, but you respawn right back where you were. And I think that was another key aspect. It reminds me of Psychonauts 2, to where Psychonauts 2 is very smart about how it, there's nothing worse when you're trying to do something, especially when it comes to verticality and jumping up, 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 and then you screw up, or the game's, you know, the platforming's not great and you fall all the way down. Like, and now, okay, now I got to start all over. Like, there's the little things like that that I think they've done very smart to keep the progression feeling like you're always moving forward. And so it's impressive, honestly, that this little game, and I think the length is the only thing that people could really like harp on, because like I said, I beat it in about 6 hours, and if I wanted to go back and do everything, there's not that much to go back and do, maybe a couple hours, but I would rather them do what they've done well than not well, if that makes sense. Like, I was pretty impressed by the time the credits rolled.
Yeah, and the only thing aside from the platforming is that sense of scale. I mean, the only thing that got me each time, like again, like when I, the only time I really kind of was kind of looked at this game was like, okay, I think I'm done for a minute, is when the new area opened up. It's not, for me, it wasn't, because the sandbox is so large, like for me, when I got to a new area, I almost had to take a break, because when you mentioned the collectibles in this game, it was, again, a daunting process, especially the first time, because when you collect your first pollen, it tells you how many pollen is in that room. And when I collect the first, like, handful, it was like 15 out of like 3,000. I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, I'm not collecting all of these. There's just no way. And I'm the type of gamer, and I'm pretty sure most gamers are this way, where you're going to try to collect as many of these things as you can, if not all of them. And there's a lot to find, there's a lot to collect, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, it's just a daunting experience. And sometimes you'll get 2,900 out of a 3,000. Like, where are these last pieces of pollen? Do you really need them? Kind of, sort of, because you want to complete the entire thing. And that was the only sort of frustrating parts for me.
I think that's fair, but at the same time, like, I think it's something like Banjo-Kazooie, which is Donkey Kong 64, which is sort of the swing in the opposite direction for me of bad collect-a-thon. Bad's not the word I want to use. More invasive.
Yeah, I want to say Tinykin is. Yeah, I want to say Tinykin is bad.
Well, I just want to say that in terms of, like, yes, it's 3,000, but most of them are kind of along the way. It is not like a Donkey Kong 64 where it's like, yo, I don't know where these last 10 pieces are, and like, I have no clue where to even look. It does a pretty good job of being able to see where you need to go. But I was also surprised how much, like, each level isn't that long. You know, if to complete it, you're talking about 45 minutes, about to an hour. It feels longer, though. Like you said, like, when you go into, like, a new area, it's just like, I feel like this is going to take 18 years to complete. And it doesn't. It takes like half an hour to 45 minutes. But most of those collectibles are along the way. I think the part that annoyed me was there's sometimes I would see something, especially in the earlier levels, and I'm just like, I don't know how to get to this thing. And it turns out you have to come back, kind of thing. And there's not... At one point, it does tell you that, like, a tooltip came up on the screen and was just like, you can't get there yet, come back later. But it didn't tell me that for a while. And I was like, I wish you would have told me that at the beginning, because I spent like 20 minutes trying to do this thing that I couldn't do. And that would have been nice to know.
No, yeah, that's fair. Absolutely. You definitely, there are different things, some things out of reach. And it's not so you get that second or third bubble jump, if you will, that you realize, oh, now I can get it. And the game, and I didn't even realize that through a tip. I realized that kind of through the gameplay experience, because at some point you do go back in a level to traverse to the next level, or rather, I entered the wrong hole. I entered the wrong hole and went back to the old level. I'm like, oh, I can just go wherever now. So that is something they, not only this game, like this, like most games should be able to. Should be able to tell you
better. Yeah, and I don't know what actually prompted that tooltip. I'm not sure. But yeah, that would have been something that I think it should have came up sooner. But the only other issue I guess I could say I had is that, well, I did say it runs well on all these platforms. Every once in a while, if you have a ton of Tinykin following you and you kind of swivel the camera in certain directions in certain ways, the frame rate can take a huge hit. Did you play on console, PC, or...?
I did console mostly, and yes, no frame drops for me. However, to that point, I never had a ton of Tinykin following me. I had the opposite issue where I'm like, I need more Tinykin.
Yeah, and so it seems to be rare, and it's usually kind of brief. But like they're there. But like I mean, literally 98% of the time, frame rates rock solid. Never have any issues on Series S or X kind of thing. So, but no, I mean, I really don't have a lot negative to say about this game. Like, I think this is one of those games where, it set out for a goal and I think it nails it. Like is it a game that is going to, you know, is it the God of War of Xbox? No, like it's not a showpiece by any means, but in just terms of like game design and look and design and art and all those things, like I don't have a lot to say bad about it. I super enjoyed my time with Tinykin. Like, did not expect it at all, and I found this game that I was like super into, and it's why we do this podcast.
I also enjoyed this game. Man, we got another bit.
Our game of the year is going to be, it's going to take all of December.
Well, it's going to be power washing, yeah. So it doesn't really matter. We don't need to do one anyway. People know it's going to be. Yeah, I also quite enjoyed this game, and it came really out of left field for me. As someone who enjoys the premise of Pikmin just fine, to get a premise done in this way where you really kind of change the genre and make it this cool sandboxy platformer puzzle thing, like, it's super neat. Like, and I'm just surprised, and I'm happily surprised that this
Think it's actually made by one person, is that right? I kind of want to look that up. I don't remember if it was or wasn't. Maybe I might be thinking of another game. I think there was another game we played that was one person. I don't remember. But yeah, no, it's a small team and all that. Like I said, it's just impressive. It's stuff like this that I don't want to call it an indie darling because that term is overused, but it's just like, man, like it's cool when a small team is able to achieve something like this. It reminds me of something like Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I don't think it's quite on that level. Like, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, in my opinion, is one of the best Metroidvania platformers ever made. I think this is just a super solid collectathon little game. So, but yeah, so when it comes to Tinykin, we're going to say pass, play it, show your friends. It's not too long. It's charming. You can play it with the kids. If you got kids, I think anyone can pick up this game and have a good time with it. So not a lot of debate on this one. Mostly us just saying, hey, this is a good game. So anything you want to add?
Is it better than Pikmin?
I'm sure. Better than Pikmin 1 and 2. Better than Pikmin 3.
That's a lot of Pikmins.
Maybe. Yeah, it's been a while since I've played.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 Pikmin.
I can't remember if I liked Pikmin 2 or 3 more. There was one of them I liked significantly more, and I don't remember why. It's been that long. But
Would it be better than Pikmin 4?
We'll never know, because that game's never coming out. I don't care what anyone says. That game's never coming. I don't care what Miyamoto says. That game is never coming out. When it comes to the future,
I keep thinking he died.
Are you thinking of Nomura?
That's right, that's right. Okay.
No, Iwata. Iwata passed away. Yeah, he was the former president of Nintendo. Yeah, he passed away from bile cancer or something like that. So, yeah, it was pretty rough from what I understand. So, but yeah, that is not what we're here to talk about. When it comes to the future, of this show, we played a lot of stuff that we did not play together. So we're going to be doing a ton of tag team episodes. We're going to have Grid Legends, Chinese Detective Agency, Metal Hellsinger, Phoenix Son of Rising. Is that what it's called? What is it called?
It's not called that. Phoenix Rising.
You don't even know. That Ubisoft game. We're going to be doing a bunch of tag team episodes. That's going to be for the month of October. And I didn't tell Bash this. We do actually have a couple emails or write-ins that I think will be worth. We can do just like a small little mailbag episode. When that comes, I'm not sure. But it's basically more about, it's not really Game Pass stuff. It's more about industry stuff. And not that I don't want to read them. I just think that it makes more sense to maybe do a little episode, like a bonus episode on that, because we can tend to talk a lot about that stuff. So. Also, we usually cover some of that stuff in our Game Pass, State of Game Pass that we call it. So, and one of those will be coming up because it's already October. So end of the year is coming up. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you next time with a tag team episode of some kind.
Good day, sirs.